websites. Theodora, could you call the Huff Line and leave those websites
Gladly.
Again on the Huff Line? And if people call me and want them, they can reach them there.
Gladly, and thank you.
Hey,
thank
Theodora,
you,
one last question. Anything coming up this week that people should know about? I know you've been keeping kind of on top of events. The City Council meets on Tuesday. I'm going to talk about that briefly.
Anybody out in Watsonville, the City Council is going to be meeting Tuesday evening, I think it's 6 or 7, to decide whether they're going to honor the vote of the people to stop fluoridation in Watsonville. Mm-hmm. And that's an important issue, because people actually voted to set limits that would prohibit fluoridation, and now the City Council's looking to ignore that election.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on the cell tower issue. There'll be a public meeting, I think, April 29th at the Board of Supervisors at 7:30, and that's a month away.
Mm-hmm. Any number for people to contact on the fluoridation or cell power issues?
At this point, anybody on the fluoridation that lives in Watsonville should call their City Council and demand that their votes be honored.
Okay. Watsonville City Council, they're in the phone
book.
And
if you live in Santa Cruz or you live in the county, call your county supervisor and tell them you support a very strong cell tower ordinance. I won't bore you with the details, but you want to be protected as a citizen, because these things ensure constant microwave radiation of anybody who lives near a cell tower.
Yeah, cellular phone users take note.
And so, yes, truly.
We formed an organization called the Art and Technology Society International, and Robert Mikeland, his name is Robert at Mikeland, MYKLAND.com. You can contact him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an organization where artists and technologists can commit to peaceful use of their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And to raise another level of consciousness. Like when you go into a think tank, make sure you know what you're thinking about, because it reaches far and wide, and then where your inventions are going.
So Matt, perhaps you can leave that number on the Huff Line too, and or that website later on.
Not a problem.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Theodora.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So, it's still Free Radio Santa Cruz, last hour of Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. In the studio with me are Cordelia and Matt, Nick Whitehead, and a couple of people who came and went. I guess they left a little Guns and Oil by Johnny Smith to play. I suppose we could have a little music here. I'm getting pressure from my guests. This is my studio. I run things here. We'll try Guns N' Roses. I haven't really seen or heard this disc, so I can't vouch for it, but we'll see if there's something worth listening to here.
Another killing in open tonight. Sometimes I think I'm gonna be alright. There's another killing in Palestine. Another madman on the street. There's another killing in Freetown tonight, all for a worthless bag of stones. Kill me in the name of Jesus, kill me in the name of God. Kill me in the name of Jesus, kill me in the name of God. Give me guns, give me oil, give me cocaine. Feed me lies, feed me lies. So turn on your TV and listen to George. He knows all the answers, he knows all the calls. Kill me in the name of Jesus, kill me in the name of God. my profit. Give me back all my scars. Too many children lying in the streets, crying in the street. I just don't know what's going on. So turn on your TV and listen to George. He knows all the answers. He knows all the chords. Kill me in the name of Jesus. Kill me in the name of God. Kill me in the name of Jesus. Kill me in the name of God. Na 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 na.
So that was Johnny Smith, Guns N' Oil. Johnny brought the tape, or I should say the cassette, the CD to the door himself. Free Radio Santa Cruz, what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM, 427-3772 is the call-in number. I just got a quick email here from the town clock via Becky Johnson. You can sometimes reach Becky if you are at the town clock and there's an emergency happening there, 429-8529 is a number to call and come on down. She can sometimes get down, sometimes she can't. Olivia Brown Rabbit contacted HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, to say that the police have ordered the removal of the running peace fence made of wisteria and roses, yarn, and a few branches, apparently originated by Dopey, who's a very undopey activist at the town clock. It's my work of art, Dopey protested. Brown Rabbit, faced with a dilemma from the police, counseled with other vigilers, and collectively they decided to remove the floral structure rather than face the removal of the entire vigil. They called it clutter, said Brown Rabbit. You know, speaking as someone who's not on the scene, it's hard to second-guess people who are there. The vigil would not be removed if they didn't remove the floral structure. The floral structure might be removed by the police, but this idea of allowing police to intimidate you with broad threats, such as Bush's threat to, you know, invade Iraq, such as this kind of succumbing to threats, is I would encourage you to, gosh, here I'm at a distance, so I don't want to say more, but this is how the vigil has been moved around. They have threatened to remove the vigil, and frankly, attempts to remove an entire vigil do kind of run afoul of the First Amendment as well as the collective sentiments of this community. So I would encourage those activists who are there to, we need more people to come there, and I encourage people to go on down to the town clock to support this kind of, the solidarity we need to stop the erosion of basic rights here in town. I mean, you know, A running peace fence made of wisteria, roses, and yarn is not something that should cause the police any trouble. It almost sounds like an ideological move by the police department. And the claim that they're going to remove everybody's constitutional rights to be at a vigil based upon this is, first of all, an illegitimate threat. And then, of course, the question is, how do you respond to it? And I think the response, you know, can be various. And I would sympathize with those who are confronted with those kinds of threats, those are the kinds of threats you're going to be finding, those of you who are out there protesting, increasingly from police, particularly, I imagine, up in San Francisco. If you don't do this, we'll do that. For example, there was, if you fall asleep at the town clock, we're going to arrest you for sleeping. Well, they didn't come to the town clock this morning. And I'm not daring them to do that. I'm saying that police often make threats they don't carry out. And sometimes you make threats that they do carry out. And the question you have to ask yourself in each of these circumstances is, one, is the threat legitimate? And you have to kind of look at the history of what's going on. So stand in solidarity with the folks at the town clock, the vigil against two wars, going down there. Any comments on this? We have Matt has a comment.
I know Dopey's one
Hang on a second. I'm sorry. Your mic is now up.
Dopey was one of the first people that received the Flower Power press release, and I think his flower fence is his public art response to a peaceful way to directly act. And that's why I sent it out as a solution, because a lot of people are against direct action. A lot of people feel like they need to do direct action. And, you know, putting that flower in the pistol of a gun is a way for a lot of people to create peace without creating havoc. And that's one of the main intentions of my, to get the middle to budge a little, you know, as a solution. And I'm asking people to send me photo images.
Are you the
images.
Criminal behind this flower?
The flower, I'm on the flower fest.
So this is the distant, the sinister finger.
I know, it started in Golden Gate Park in 66, so, you know, grandmother flower here. And I'm not that old yet. I have a series of paintings that I started during Kosovo, because being an intuitive healer and a sensitive, I could feel the war before it started, and there are hundreds and hundreds, literally, of 8x10 flowers in one of my studios on the planet, and I made a commitment in my press release, and I think Dopey recognized it, and more power to him. And it says, as long as people keep throwing wars, I'm going to keep painting these flowers, and I know upon my demise as a grand old woman, there are going to be lots of flowers and lots of memories for lots of different people.
And the real question for us here...
paintings don't go away.
Right.
They stay for centuries.
Real question for us here is, how do we deal with the police actions at the town clock against activists? And that is really a matter, I think, of almost human numbers and human energy and also human commitment. Because police are reluctant to move against large numbers of people, or people that they knew are supported by large numbers of people. So let's keep that in mind.
I did see one of the officers walking up when the day of the war, and his head was down, and he looked pretty sad, and I was coming down from the clock, and I gave him the peace sign, and I saw the biggest smile I've seen all day. So,
right.
You know, I think there's some of them in that department who are, again, in the middle and want to budge a little.
Yeah. Hi, you're on Free Radio. I think you're on Free Radio, yeah.
I hope I am. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, Robert, it's Neil.
Hey, Neil.
I was one of the 13 who got arrested with you.
Oh, no, you commie dog.
Yes, it's me. I just wanted to say that I'm listening to your station, and I really wish I could get up to San Francisco myself right now, but I'm in the midst of a job.
What do you hear from San Francisco today?
I don't hear anything. I'm listening to your broadcast.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm trying to I'm going to go on Indie Media and hopefully get something. I do have something. British TV reporter dead, says ITN. I can read about that in a moment.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There was something I wanted to say, though.
Go ahead.
If you hear anything... I'm really torn. I really wish I could get up to San Francisco, but if Bush had known my schedule, he couldn't have planned it any worse.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hear of any sudden police sweeps at the clock tower, mm-hmm. I would love to hear of it, because I'd go rush down right now.
What you might do is immediately call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, and leave your phone number and your email address there. And then you might, and this is to anybody else out there, if you want to be a support for the vigil. And you can also call, as I said, Becky Johnson at 429-8529, and maybe you can leave her your name and number. And if you have any resources like a camera or any skills, if you're nearby, if you have a vehicle, you can leave the hours that you want to be helpful. Tonight we're going to be doing an all-night vigil. I'll put in a couple hours. I don't put in the kind of time that the vigilers put in. But if you want to put in time tonight, that would be a great time to come on down, because it's in the wee hours that things get the hardest. But as you can say, sometimes during the day, the police take these repressive actions.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say, on Wednesday night when I was down at the vigil at the clock tower, in the rain and the dark, a couple of workers from Cafe Murray came down with coffee and just bread, and it was just such a treat to have something warm in our bellies and in the cold and the wet and the dark. So. Even if you can't stay for very long, you know, bring a couple of cookies by to share with the protesters, and, you know, that those are really good for boosting the spirits and letting people know they're appreciated. So thanks to the workers from Cafe Mari for doing that, and if you guys are thinking of a way to contribute and help and you can't stay very long, you know, little treats are very much appreciated on the front lines.
Of attorneys would be nice, too, if bring those down.
Yeah.
So anything else, Neil, any thoughts about the Capitola symbolic, we stand in front of the door, we get arrested, we get released, we get to go to court thing?
It was pretty symbolic, I
right.
admit,
mm-hmm.
But I'm proud that I did it. It was my very first time I was arrested. I think it's very important that, you know, right now the mainstream media is talking about all those bong, you know, bong water airheads who were violently protesting and only pointing at one segment of the protest, mm-hmm. and ignoring how broad-based this protest actually is.
Hear, hear.
Trying to isolate us and make us seem like we're some radical fringe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one interesting thing I heard on NPR the other day is that Daniel Ellsberg, I'm not sure if you're old enough to know who he is, but he was very influential. He was the key factor for Watergate coming out, and everybody in the administration, everybody was putting Dan Ellsberg down, and da-da-da-da-da, and then it came out that he was really the savior for the regular guy, and brought up the negative actions in the White House. But he's going to get arrested, is what he said in front of the White House. And watching Daniel Ellsberg do that, he's considered the most dangerous man in America. But when he goes to do that, you know, you're right in there with him.
Yeah.
He's making he's dropping his pebble into the middle class strata, because he knows a lot of those people who have now gotten soft tummies and gotten older and not as radical as they used to be when they were younger, unlike Robert here. And
well,
a lot of when he does that, a lot of those people are going to wake up and go, "My God, Dan Ellsberg, haven't heard that in a long
time.
If he's getting in, this is serious."
I want to say that Dan Ellsberg did not sit around and drop pebbles and engage in symbolic behavior in the Pentagon Papers was not symbolic behavior. He was risking serious jail time
and his life, probably.
And he was also taking meaningful action. And that's the point, I think, that we have to find, and that we haven't had much discussion of today, which is what meaningful action can be done locally other than, you know, postcards to your mom and back and forth on the internet. I'm sorry to be frustrated about this. One proposal that came up was the IRS has supposedly an office in Santa Cruz near the town clock. Seems to me if you're going to attack symbols of federal power, or let us say peacefully blockade symbols of federal power, I mean, I don't know how you're going to put it. The point is, you got a murderous regime overseas that's killing people and.
So on tax
killing
day,
our own people.
You block the mailbox.
Well, not on tax day. Tomorrow, you get your butt down there on Monday morning, and you start occupying, just like they're doing in San Francisco, areas where the federal government can suddenly start feeling the heat, and people in other cities can see that this is something they can do, too. This is people standing up, going to Tiananmen Square. This is people saying no all over the place. And it is a more aggressive form of response. So Yeah, some of us who are working, I'm working on my 20th arrest, you're working on your first, so here I am ranting away, but you know.
I do have a thought.
Yeah.
Well, the protests are intended to, they're kind of like a compliance hold, if you want to use police lingo, against San Francisco and other cities. So I think one question ought to be, what are we trying to get them to comply to? We ought to come up with a short to mid-term demand. Or maybe not send the federal government their money, for example. Just some kind of interim step for the local city governments to do.
Well, things that I've suggested that the Riley regime, as I call it, do here in Santa Cruz are declare Santa Cruz a sanctuary. This was before the war, you know, the invasion happened. Declare that police are not going to cooperate with Patriot Act requests. I don't know, refuse federal funding for police departments around the drug war. I mean, there's an obvious thing that they should have been doing for years, and they haven't. Instead, they're colluding with that effort. And the war on terrorism, where this is not a war on specific terrorists, but this is a general blank check to proceed to invade one sovereign country after another, and we see this beginning today. Other things are just to repudiate people like Farr and other hack politicians who are not reflecting their constituencies. I mean, they're not doing the right thing, yeah, and that's certainly bad, but they're not even reflecting the majority opinion in a safe district. These are clearly people who are more concerned about, you know, conservative opinion, even when it's minority opinion, you know? Sorry.
Yeah, I think Farr's a wannabe. So
Farr's office is another target, and I'm being given a piece of chocolate. Perhaps this means I should just calm down here and have some chocolate, or maybe I should get laid here. Is anybody volunteer? Let's see if we can get this.
Tempting,
here.
Robert, but I think I'll pass if that's all right.
Here you are. You see?
Yeah,
this is what I'm stuck
with. Her way
right
of laying you is a good a body slam. Your self-defense.
Oh, well,
yeah.
You know, you can't win them all here in the studio. Neil, anything else you want to say?
Just on a personal note, I'm in solidarity with you all more ways than one. I'm a martial artist instructor and an artist as well, visual artist.
Wow, you combine both of them.
Go art department.
I do. You might have seen my show at the Loud Nelson in September. Large-scale drawings.
Huh.
Down the hall.
I might have noticed it as I wandered past to these endless Green Party meetings that don't seem to...
Big Venuses, yeah. 6 feet high.
Huh.
That's me.
Beautiful.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Neil.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're a true warrior. We appreciate you.
And we have about 45 minutes left. Here's a quick report. British TV reporter dead, says ITN, Sunday, March 23rd, London. British television reporter Terry Lloyd is dead and his body believed to be in a Basra hospital under Iraqi control, broadcaster ITN said Sunday. Two members of his team, Belgian cameraman Fred Nirak and Hussein Osran, a translator from Lebanon, remain missing, ITN said in a statement. A fourth crew member, Daniel Dermustier, was injured in Saturday's incident at Iman Anas near Basrabat, but was able to get to safety. London-based ITN said Lloyd, 51, and his team apparently were fired on by forces from the U.S.-led coalition. I love that, U.S.-led coalition. Thank you. The U.S. and the other two people involved, while driving towards coalition lines, accompanied by vehicles driven by Iraqis, including a truck filled with soldiers. ITN said the Iraqis might have been intending to surrender. The statement said ITN has received sufficient evidence to believe that ITV news correspondent Terry Lloyd was killed in an incident on the southern Iraq war front yesterday. It added the ITN team came under fire, apparently from coalition forces, that's COW, Coalition of the Willing, outside Basra. Iraqi ambulances took a number of dead and injured from the area into Basra, and locally based journalists have given ITN information, which leaves no doubt that Terry Lloyd's body was among the dead. ITN, which provides the news for Britain's ITV network, said it believed the other missing members of the crew had been also taken to Basra. Efforts continue to locate them. He was with the ITN for 20 years, was Lloyd, longest-serving reporter, first journalist killed on assignment in ITN's 48-year history. The UK Press Association said first reporter inside the Iraqi town of Halabja in 1988 after Iraqi President Saddam Hussein attacked Kurds there with chemical weapons, or was it the Iranians? Who knows? He also reported from Kosovo, Bosnia, and Yugoslavia. ITN chief executive Stuart Purvis said Terry was brave, he was determined, and he was safety conscious. He was a lovely guy, and he was also trying to report independent media. So independent journalists, watch your asses if you are in Iraq or even if you're not in Iraq. Looks like we have an incoming call here, but it's not on our phone. So we have an incoming call on the phone here. Hi there, you're on Free Radio?
Yeah, this is Dopey.
Hey, Dopey, what's happening with your... They're coming after your flower wall, eh?
Oh, that's what they're saying, and I think it's a bunch of shit, to be quite honest. But,
So what happened? How many people are at the clock now?
Right now we got about 30 people.
Are they all carrying flowers? Maybe they should stand like a flower wall and do a wall across the street. You know, when the police do something, there should be a sort of a strong response. If people could respond in a way that let the police know that there's a cost to what they do. Of course, it's nice for me to give orders from the studio, and you all can get arrested.
Well, I'm thinking right now, I'm about to go and get me another big old bag full of flowers, and I'm going to start passing them out because I've got about another 40 to 80 people that are going to be showing up here by the end of the day today. And from the sounds of it, they're pretty willing to help.
That sounds good to me, Dopey. Any other word on... I know there's a... did you get to the meal at 11 o'clock?
No. I don't think many people did. We ended up getting donated quite a bit of food. We got quite a bit of kick down here right now.
Yeah, it's on my list, Dopey, to bring you one of my mother's famous cinnamon rolls, and they're like the size of like the biggest banana slug you ever saw in your life. But also what you could do is figure it's Sunday, and the tourists walking down at the beach, and there's a lot of sand, and you can draw, and you're reaching out beyond the Santa Cruz community when you're on the beach because that's where the tourists are. And you can draw flowers from, you know, all the way down the Boardwalk Beach. You can go all the way down to Lighthouse Beach and keep going. And it's going to make them wonder. And then the little kids on the beach, they're going to see your flower, and they're going to go draw another flower. And they may be three, but they know what the word war means.
Of course, that will disperse
that
everybody
true.
From the town clock. Maybe it'll be good anyway.
Well, just that is true. And
Dopey, here's a suggestion from...
Actually, I was going to comment on what you just read on that news report about the journalist who was killed, actually.
Before you do, let me see if I need Dopey anymore. From Dopey anymore on, we should know?
I need to get people down here that have stronger construction materials that can be donated. This wall is already pretty shaggy when it comes to the wind hitting it.
You know, maybe you should, Dopey, you should erect a plaza in that central area where the four streets meet. We've needed a plaza for some time downtown.
Styrofoam is good, and sand in coffee buckets.
Yeah, we've got something like that going on right now for some of the posts, but if anybody out there can donate some steel rebar, we'd like to pound some of that in there and make it a little bit more difficult for these cops if they decide they really
bring your construction materials to the town clock, and thank you, Dopey.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, just try and get people out here, man. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, thanks, Dopey.
Flower power.
Hang on a second. Go ahead, you were saying about this news account.
Yeah, I was listening to Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman yesterday, I think it was, and they were covering the fact that the military is actually intentionally targeting independent journalists. You know, they have said that they will be, if they try and upload by satellite any reports, that they will be basically considered targets. And that they have their embedded journalists, those are, that are picked and approved and screened, and they have their censored reports that are allowed out. But, you know, people might think, oh, it's an accident, it's friendly fire or whatever. But actually, you know, that it's kind of a policy to not let uncensored news come out from the fronts because, you know, people, they don't want people knowing, hey, you know, just a bunch of civilians got slaughtered, and they don't want that kind of news getting out. So
we got another story here, too, coming up.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, UK plane shot down by Patriots Sunday, March 23rd. CNN, Doha, Qatar, a Toronto GR4 aircraft returning for an operational mission, has been shot down by a Patriot missile near the Kuwait border, a British military spokesman said. The Toronto's crew members are listed as missing, and investigations are underway. Something probably went wrong in some way, but we're in an incredibly busy environment with every pilot focused on what they're doing, spokesman Captain John Fine said. Fine said investigators will look for something obvious that can be fixed easily, but if it can't be fixed today or tomorrow, it will be fixed. Joint Chief of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers, that's your old pal, pointed to a possible breakdown of the elaborate procedures and electronic means to identify friendly and enemy aircraft as causing the incident. Central Command is looking into that as we speak, Meyer said Sunday on ABC's This Week. People have to react in a hostile environment. Mistakes can happen, Fine said. Loss of the aircraft comes after two deadly accidents involving helicopters belonging to U.S. and British forces. Six British crew members and one American were killed Saturday in a mid-air coalition between two British Navy Sea King helicopters over the Persian Gulf, according to the UK command, Central Command in Qatar and the Pentagon. On Friday, a U.S. Marine CH-46 helicopter crashed in Kuwait, killing all 12 people aboard. The eight British and four American dead were the first coalition casualties of the war against Iraq. We have an incoming call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, you know how it is.
Do you know who this is?
I'm not sure.
This is Baba G.
Well, hey, Baba G, at the town clock, are we?
Yes, we are.
Well, what's happening down there, Baba G?
Oh, the police are getting ready to move in.
In what way?
And tear down the flower garden.
So the flower garden has remained up instead of, I thought that it was going to be taken down.
No, it's still up at this time.
So the police are going to so everyone who loves flowers, come on down to the flower garden. So if the police take this one away, they'll have to set up another one, I think.
Yeah, right away, immediately.
Right. Well, so how many police officers are assembling?
And there's none here yet, but they gave us an hour to get it down.
An hour or that? But this flower fence is really sort of a serious threat, is it not?
Well, that's what they say.
Well, isn't it some kind of a terrorist menace, possibly?
I think so.
Doesn't it block traffic?
Yeah, it blocks traffic.
Demoralizes the war effort.
And grabs the cars as the cars go by, you know.
It's distracting.
Very distracting.
It's smelly, probably. Go ahead.
Yeah, some people are allergic to pollen, too, so maybe it's like, you know, biological weapon.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. It's a biological. Who's that talking?
That's the infamous Cordelia, if I'm not mistaken.
Hi, Cordelia. How are you?
Great. Good job, you guys. I want to run down and see the flowers before the cops come in.
She's going to smell the flowers, folks.
Okay.
Watch out.
I just had to call you.
Hey, I'm glad you did. So this is an SOS. Come on down to protect the flower fence.
And to support us and bring food and clothing.
And possibly to set up a flower garden. If you could start tearing up the concrete in the middle of the area there, we could have a plaza.
Well, I think we ought to.
Yeah, I mean, after all, the city council has had 5 years, 10 years, to set up a plaza. They can't seem to get it together. So maybe the people have to take a hand.
We got to do something. I heard you talking about them giving tickets for us sleeping here.
No
officer showed up this morning.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that. I actually was going to play that, but we have been delayed by events and by personalities and by thoughts.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to show up. I think they were just trying to scare us.
Possibly so. The Lieutenant Patty Saponi has made numerous mistakes in her life. Maybe this will not be one of them.
But I'll tell you, she's got a tiger by the tail.
It would be nice.
I've been in this too long.
Well, if enough people come down, the tiger can let out a roar.
You know, I was in the civil rights demonstration.
Gotcha. Baba G, I'm going to roll on you.
All right.
You are in the civil rights demonstration. I got news for you.
I was before, and I am now, and I will be here for the long haul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Come on down and see the flower garden.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So that's the SOS from the town clock. It may not sound serious to some, but the fact of the matter is, you know, what are police doing spending resources and time removing a fence of flowers? I mean, come on. This doesn't make much sense. And what makes sense is that we should say, get a life, you guys. This is not what you should be doing. You shouldn't be arresting people for chalking, sleeping, engaging in legitimate protest. Even riding a bicycle the wrong way on Pacific Avenue should not be the basis for a $162 citation.
You know, right? I heard that Burning Man this summer is, you know, they're into the man, and the man is, I guess the new public art is bush burnings.
And ooh, mama.
They're going all over it.
Now, there is an event happening today, by the way. Interfaith Time for Grieving, March 25th. That's today, Sunday, 5 p.m., United Methodist Church, 250 California Street, Santa Cruz. There will be time for spontaneous sharing of music, poetry, prayers, and thoughts. Sponsors, the Interfaith Coalition for Peace and Justice and the Earth Justice Ministries. Contact person, Daryl Darling, 458-1958. Elaine Schwartz, 459-7590. Whenever I hear the words darling, I reach for my my gun, as Goebbels used to say. Yes, that's 5 o'clock. Daryl Darling is a close supporter of Scott Kennedy, who is the man on the city council supporting the anti-homeless laws. He gave us the Ask for a Dime After Dark, Go to Jail law in 1994. And, of course, he's the co-founder of the Resource for Nonviolence, Resource Center for Nonviolence. But against local people who are poor, he has assembled a great array of force to enforce the edicts of merchants and the gentrification preferences of merchants downtown. Nick,
16-year-old.
I have a tape of yours which you want to play, but unfortunately I
have about 4 minutes.
You only 4 minutes? Well, it's only 4 minutes. I say let's do it. Anybody want to say something? You're okay. I think I won't invite commentary at this time. Here we go. Here's a tape from Nick. You want to introduce this?
Yeah, these are very young protesters, about 20 of them standing in a row, down at the town clock last Friday in the mid-afternoon.
This is yesterday, 2 days ago?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's hear this.
Thank you very much. A lot of these protesters here, this is Friday, a lot of these protesters are really young. They think they've come as an organized student body.
Yeah, I don't know the details, but I think that they're high school organizers. I was just walking by, and it's a great way to get involved.
Oh,
I'm not part of the high school.
You're a little bit older.
I'm older. I go to UCSC, but they're all from some high school.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a row of about 20 17-year-olds, I'd say.
A lot more than that.
a lot more in number, yeah.
Yeah.
But right in front of us, there's a straight line with that
pole. Yeah, it's wonderful.
All of the age groups. Do you belong to any organization?
No, I don't, but I'm always looking for a way to get involved, so I'm going to go up to San Francisco on Saturday.
What are you studying up there?
Art and literature.
Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Next.
But this is a great turnout.
Sure is. How old are you?
I'm 16.
You're
16.
And there's a lot of 16 and 17-year-olds.
Yeah, I'd say that's the majority. Some 18-year-olds.
And you're all from the same school?
We're from San Lorenzo Valley, SLV.
San Lorenzo Valley. I thought nothing was happening up there these days.
Oh, no, things are certainly happening up there.
Oh,
we had the largest walkout in the county a couple of weeks ago.
The largest in the county?
Mm-hmm.
How many was that?
I don't know exactly. They didn't have any official estimates, but it was pretty large.
Golly, I better get out of the way. There's a traffic officer over here. So, what was your feeling when you saw the or heard about the really big cruise missile landing on a city?
I don't know. I thought it was really horrible and unintentional, or like they didn't need to do it. They could have found a way around it.
Oh. Kind of a war cry, peace cry going on over there. Those students are all standing, it's about 20 at least of them, and they're all standing in a line in the traffic island near the town clock, drawing the attention of cars going in both directions. Do your parents agree with you in every way regarding...
Yeah.
Well, your parents...
Yeah, we're both really lucky to have parents that agree with us. I think a lot of us...
Unfortunately, though, that sounds like good commentary, Nick. It was recorded, as you say, kind of on failing batteries, so it plays fast. And I wish we had a more, you know, sophisticated equipment that would allow us to speed it up or slow it down, actually. I guess slow it down. But Nick is quite versed in these things, and he may be able to give us more info or a better version next time. And I should say that the high school students will be back on Friday. They plan to assemble at the town clock every week, according to what I heard at the Resource Center's 7 p.m. Convergence Center Heads of Protest Movement meeting. And if you want more information about if you're a high school student listening and you want to get involved, call the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 423-1626. Don't volunteer for them, no, but ask for the information about who the high school groups are that are doing this and then go to those groups. That is my advice. Resource Center for Nonviolence, though, it has provided a place for folks to come, and I appreciate some of the work they've done. Frankly, their position on local issues in terms of their willingness to stand up for civil rights for people locally has been almost completely absent in the last two decades where they've had a presence in town. And so, although I appreciate people doing volunteer work for the Convergence, they had a Convergence Center for the last 3 days at the Resource Center for Nonviolence where, I guess, the last 2 days, 24 hours a day, they were open. I was actually going to volunteer, and I certainly appreciate that. I think generally contributing to the Resource Center for Nonviolence as an organization is something I would like to defer my energies on. I would encourage other people to put their energies into more direct action, but, you know, your choice is your own. Bill Monning and James Russell will be in a live call-in TV show. We'll be presenting their views on the military action in Iraq on Thursday, March 27th, on Community Television, 7:30 to 8:30, on Voices, which is a call-in show. You'll be able to call in. That's in 4 days. Bill Monning teaches the Monterey Institute of International Studies. He's the program director of the MIIS, a master's program in commercial diplomacy, and director of the project on negotiation, mediation, and conflict resolution. James Russell teaches in the Department of National Security Affairs at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, where he is a fellow of the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Russell teaches courses in Persian Gulf security policy and national security strategy. Sounds like a debate coming up. That's going to be live call-in, Channel 27, on Thursday. What else we got going here? Let's see. Very good article on Iraqi casualties in the London Independent. And I'm running out of time here is my problem, so I can't get into all these articles that I wanted to play. But if you go on the web to the Google, through a Google or a search engine, you can find the London Independent and look for today's Sunday Independent, Sunday Observer. And you get all kinds of interesting articles that don't show up in local media. And there's even encouraging articles in local media, AP, thousands protest in Asia and Australia. And there is some notice of pro-war protests, but interesting enough, that coverage is being cut back. Here's allegations of torture by U.S. troops. That's rather an older story. There's a psychiatric rights association protest coming up in May in San Francisco. We'll be covering more of that later on when we have more time. There is a city council meeting coming up, I hate to admit, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, as well as the notorious Chalking Menace. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Free Radio. Long-time listener, long-time caller. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
I was listening to your show. Just a quick comment for people that may have access to the World Wide Web.
Uh-huh.
There's a website called electroniciraq.net, electroniciraq.net, and there are links there to lots of different stories for the war that's happening, and there's some still images from Al Jazeera television that they posted on their website that I would really highly encourage anyone who may even remotely support this effort by the United States Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard to go look at those pictures, and you will quickly see why people protest against the war. There are images coming in and being broadcast all over the Middle East and the Muslim world of 10 and 11-year-old children with half their heads missing. And this is what our bombs are doing, and this is what you're not seeing on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox News, all these other MSNBC, all these other, you know, corporate networks. And it's really scaring me, Robert. It's really scaring me. These all we see are just like these targets of smart bombs and the embedded journalists that are in bed with the media, and they're not showing any of the atrocities that are being committed. And
but Denny, for the first time, we are seeing that these images are getting instantly out to the public via other means. We had to wait for months to get this in the Persian Gulf War in 1991.
True, you're right, but yeah. Unfortunately, it's continuing unabated, and I'm afraid for what's happening in Baghdad. The 50 people were killed in Basra alone, and that's a pretty small town on the outskirts of Iraq.
One of the major
region.
Changing forces of the Vietnam War was that, in those days, the press was more free and not quite as corporately controlled as it is now.
Right.
And it changed the war. So.
Well, we have the internet now, which is helping us.
Talking about is very important.
But I want people to know that they should check those sites out and check out also IraqBodyCount.com to keep track of the civilian casualties. I got to go back to work. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM is what you're tuned to. A couple of other updates here. This is sort of jumping back to the local scene. A local man named Jim I ran into at a protest in front of the recruiting center. It was the day before I was arrested. I think it was Wednesday morning. Maybe it was even the day I was arrested. But he and his wife, who have successfully recovered from drugs, are now going to be faced with his going back to jail because he drove on a suspended license. And there's a whole history behind the suspended license stuff where you get your license suspended and there's a mass of labyrinth for people to go through before they can do anything about it. We have another call, and callers, unfortunately, or fortunately, come first. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, it's me again. I forgot one thing quickly, that tomorrow, myself and Old Lady Scar Arms, who will be on Free Radio later at 3 p.m., we're going to be on AM 1080 KSCO, and we're going to be interviewing Ali Abu Nima, who actually founded the website electronicirock.net, and we're also going to have on the phone Janine Jackson of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. She's also a co-host of Counterspin. They're going to both be on the phone from their various places in the world, and we'll be able to take callers. That's from 12:15 to 1 p.m. tomorrow on AM 1080 KSCO, conservative radio.
Which gets out to a much broader audience than free radio.
True, and we're able to take callers, too, so call in with your questions.
You did this last week. Is that program archived anywhere on the net? Or?
It is. It's at radioforall.net, radio and then the number 4, ALL.net.
And if so, folks miss it tomorrow, they can always tune in later.
Right.
Hey, thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. So, and of course, some local stuff coming up for you here. To remember that, again, the vigil against the town clock at the town clock, which apparently the police are moving against the vigil at the town clock to remove the flower fence as we speak. We're talking, it sounds like foolish back and forth, minor tactics. Where it gets nasty is when people's survival abilities are affected here in Santa Cruz, which happens all the time, and as a matter of a sort of institutional practice by the police. It's not that the police are mean or nasty, it's that they are enforcing priorities that are intrinsically mean and nasty and inhuman, that have to do with the priorities and preferences of a kind of a ruling group, of a group of people that don't want to provide room for the population generally, particularly the poorer people. When you came to Santa Cruz, did you live in your vehicle? Well, that's becoming increasingly difficult to do in this town, and it's being rationalized away as, we're in Silicon Valley suburbia here. If you want to do that, you should move to, Idaho or Fresno or someplace else. But then you turn to Fresno and you find something similar has happened, sort of a clamp down, a gentrification, a scapegoating of poor people because of economic conditions or war conditions or the paranoia induced by the administration, either through the war on terror or the war on drugs or the war on Iraq. You name it, one war after another, war is peace for the for the people in power. And this is going to have impacts on Tuesday at the Santa Cruz City Council meeting, which I really am hesitant to recommend people come to. I'm going to be talking about this shortly after this caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hey, I just, long-time listener, first-time caller kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I just thought I would share one tip for people going up to the city.
Uh-huh.
San Lorenzo Lumber carries bright yellow caution tape in really long spools that does a nice job of... people are really reluctant to drive through it.
Huh. You know, I think that that might be very appropriate at the town clock if that whole area were cautioned into a plaza, because, after all, hasn't that been a need of Santa Cruz for many moons?
Yeah, it actually has. It's true. And, you know, we take that area now and then for a few minutes, but it would be great to have for really a long time.
Caution was the tape put up at the recruiting center the day before the arrests, and the next day it looked exactly the same, except it said police line.
Police line, yeah. Actually, what was interesting about that is the day before the arrest, the building owner came and put that stuff up.
Really?
Yeah.
And
he was fairly late. And the day of the arrest, the cops were really early. They were there at like 7 o'clock with their police line tape.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, why the caution tape occurred to me is I happened to notice that San Lorenzo carried it, and I when I saw